We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Not over officiating here, and we're not re-officiating these plays. So the thought process was to correct the obvious and clear error.
I'm so sick of hearing clear and obvious.
I think the numbers reflect that.
Dale Arnold.
Being able to work with my dad and be around some other good coaches.
What was the worst part?
Everything else.
Simon John or Kyle Shanahan.
Rich Keith.
There's only one goal according to Dale a second ago. Now that's one of many.
How many of you want to eat a W tonight?
Dale and Keith, middays.
Wore out my girlfriend, I'll tell you that.
On the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
All those little buttons don't work either.
No. What do you expect?
We're discovering stuff as we go along here.
That's right.
Oh, the good news is the button that tells you if the mic is on doesn't actually work.
No.
So we have to spend the whole day assuming it is on.
So I got a question for you guys,
okay.
Sort of like neighborhood or neighbor etiquette. So last night there was a bit of a storm.
Hadn't heard about it.
Or you felt it. Actually, I slept right through the damn thing. Woke up this morning. Can you turn Steve's mic on?
Steve doesn't know.
It's still the button that didn't work.
Can you turn Steve's mic on? It's not working. Steve, we're going to have to slide over then. Steve DiAssi's here as well.
Well, maybe.
Let's see.
How's that?
Oh, you sound great. Oh, there's honey in your voice now, Steve. So in my front yard, it's sort of like split in half by like the driveway. So there's two kind of sides to the yard. Each side of the yard has one tree, like one relatively tall tree. Well, one of them, well, I should say used to.
Oh,
one of them
so
went down
anymore,
last night. So one of them went down. Thankfully, it didn't hit my car, didn't hit, you know, the neighbor, didn't hit the fence or anything, but it went down. How long can I leave it like that? What's the etiquette there until my neighbors start to... Can you turn Steve's mic back on, please? Yeah, that one's off. This is a tough start for Steve. Steve, why don't you take the next couple of plays off?
Damn it.
How long can I leave it there until they say
Michael Bennett DiAssi?
Yeah, I think so.
Someone's going to feel the wrath like Michael Bennett did.
Talking to both mics. That's good.
Right. Hello.
It's like CM Punk doing his mic bomb or his pipe bomb. They shut it off. So how long can I leave it until the neighbors start to say, listen, you need to pick your tree up?
Well, how big a tree is
it? Oh, big. Like, I can't, like, hand saw this. Like, this is it. And I don't know what I'm going to do with all of it because it's a tall tree. There's tons of leaves on it, so it's not going to be easily, like, disposable either.
Does it block part of the roadway or the driveway?
Neither.
Oh, well, there you go.
I know. That's kind of an out, isn't it? Like, I think I can leave it alone for a little while. It's not bothering anybody, and it's fully on my property.
Well,
100% on my property,
it's not
in the street. Like, it kind of landed.
You know what?
It landed almost perfectly.
I think you're good till spring.
Okay, good.
Yeah,
good.
I think you're good till spring.
I might just leave it. Steve, your mic's not on still.
I'm on!
No, you're not.
I am!
There he is. Okay, there now he is. Right. Now you sound great.
You're just letting the wood age and season for firewood.
Yes.
That's all you're doing.
I got to let it dry out, obviously.
Let it dry out, yeah.
Let it dry out for a while.
Yeah.
I'm eventually going to have to chop it up into several pieces.
Right.
But yeah, that was a tough thing
we'll get
to wake
out there,
up to.
We'll get out there with a hatchet and a handsaw, and we'll take care of it.
Here I am thinking I didn't have much to do this weekend. Turns out I got to pick up a whole tree.
You know what's better than the morning commute into Boston?
No.
The morning commute into Boston, where power outages cause certain stoplights to not work.
That's a trick.
Oh, those intersections are a blast.
Yeah, people are like, well, I assume mine would be green, so I'm just going to keep going. Like, no.
I'm sure it was green.
You need to yield a little bit here.
Well, people block the box anyway, so, I mean, in the morning time, so now they just have permission to do it. And, you know, they don't have to look around to see if there's a cop somewhere. They just do it anyway now.
That's true.
We're not going to spend the next 4 hours. Well, we might spend the next 4 hours.
Hard
whining.
To say at this
It'll
point.
It'll depend on how much hotter it gets in here. But this building is rather interesting. Like, the only parts of the building that are alive are the studios.
Mm-hmm.
Literally every other light in the building is out, and that includes the air conditioning. And so in here, now I thought it was because Danielle was in here and, you know, brought the temperature right up.
Very nice compliment, Dale.
But apparently it's like 85 degrees
so
in here.
So that's how stupid I am.
And going to get hotter.
Would it be an issue if I just get in a towel and play like it's a sauna and we can just talk sports?
Worked I think
for,
you're going to have
to. Worked for Greg right. the
other
yeah,
day. Yeah, it is. You wouldn't be the first guy this week to do that. So go ahead, try it on for size.
I had an original idea.
I think by 12 o'clock, we may all be doing the same thing. I'm such an idiot. I was like, well, it's cool outside. How come it's not cool in here? And Danielle and Fitz are like, because of all the equipment. I'm like, oh, right.
Oh.
There's like all this, all there's like eight computer Damn, screens. There's like all these TVs. There's all like
lights,
this stuff light. To keep us on the air. Plus, there's body heat.
Stupid technology.
Yeah. So I'm like, oh, I
and,
got it.
And there are no windows that you can open anywhere.
No,
we are sealed
no.
in.
We are right. trying to. Trying
so
to
if we sound delirious, if we sound delirious in hour yeah. three, you'll know why.
100%
we'll
know why.
Fine.
More so than we usually do.
Correct.
Yeah.
So Peter King's going to join us at the bottom of the hour.
Yes.
Inside radio for you boys and girls. We had to shuffle things around because of studios and availabilities and travel, because Michael Irvin is normally with us on Fridays, but his travel schedule tomorrow is such, he's going to join us today at 12:20, which is fun anyway, because he and D'Ossi like each other. And
playmaker?
Yeah.
He's that guy.
No, he's good.
He's a good guy. Yeah, well, yeah. Him and Willie McGinnis, in the 12 years I played, were probably the most NFL-ready rookies I've ever seen. Just the two of them. Just they came in, and one was different. Playmaker was yapping the whole time. Michael was yapping the whole time, but he was producing, and right from the get go, Willie was a little more quiet, but you could tell right away there was But those two guys, both of them, and I have a feeling that Willie someday will join him on the Hall of Fame too. So I don't think that'd be an issue.
Well, one of the things we'll talk to Michael Irvin about is he did an interview in Dallas yesterday, where he suggested that the Cowboys, who have lost three straight, should maybe consider signing Antonio Brown.
That's the team I thought all along.
Now, he reportedly was laughing the whole time he was saying it, so it was kind of hard to tell how serious he was.
Well, listen, but he might have been laughing, but I think like a lot of people say there's a truth to all these jokes, like
sure.
a little bit of truth in there. And
it
was
it
funny
funnier.
Because we've had Michael Irvin on all season, and so, of course, the Patriots began the year without Michael Irvin, without Antonio Brown. And when we were talking to him, I remember asking him about the idea of Antonio Brown coming to the Patriots, and his response was laughter then. And then a couple of days later, he signs with them. So, I mean, there's always a chance of something like this. He is an unrestricted free agent. He's trying to get back into the league. This is a team that...
Well, is he, though? I mean, he's got a burgeoning
Antonio?
Music career.
Well, he's got a great voice. He's on the Masked Singer.
He's got college courses. He's got a.
He is a student as well.
So
student singer. He's got a lot of stuff going on.
He's got. I think he can balance
Instagram influencer.
Yep.
So
you balance it out though. I don't think all of those are going to pay him $10 million.
Maybe not.
Combined, maybe not. But I think the Cowboys make a lot of sense because Jerry Jones, it's been a while since he has had a real true winner, right? Since he's had a Super Bowl team, it's been a long time. They are a good team. They are not a great team, and they're kind of going in the wrong direction. So if you could add a little something to that offense, and think about the attention that Brown has to take, and now you can't just go with like 11 guys in the box to stop Ezekiel Elliott.
Right.
That would be a pretty good. That'd be a pretty good addition for them, I think.
Agreed. And their offensive line isn't playing as well as they've played in the past. So usually, the offensive line is pretty solid. A guy like Antonio Brown, given Dak Prescott, who's a pretty good quarterback. An extra target absolutely makes sense, but I would imagine that the same thing is in place with any team in the NFL. The threat of the commissioner's
exempt list.
Yeah, I mean that would have to be. I mean, if it was, it just doesn't make sense.
See, I've been saying all along, though. I mean, doesn't Jerry Jones have enough clout that he could theoretically call Roger Goodell and say, "Listen, Roger, we're thinking about signing this guy. What's going to happen if we do?"
Any owner could do that, I would think.
But would he answer?
There's only 32 bosses I know Goodell is the commissioner, but the owners are still the owners. So,
but would he answer if Jerry Jones asked him direct? Look, if I signed him, is anything going to happen?
You're right. The person, because he's been around for 26 years or so, and that would.
But what if they could? If you got proof that he gave that information to Jerry Jones, couldn't that support some of the grievances or things that Antonio Brown has, right? Because what he told everybody yesterday, what Goodell said, is they have so much they're still going through, right? The investigation is ongoing and all that.
How are you going to prove it? Are you going to seize his phone?
Not if you destroy your phone. You can't. Seize what, Steve? I don't have a phone.
Good point.
But, I mean, maybe if they have like a one-on-one conversation or something like that and there's no way of it being proven, but I think that saying the player is not on the exempt list. So if you're going to tell other owners that, he's going to be on the exempt list when he's not already on the exempt list, then I think Antonio Brown would have a big case as far as suing the league would be concerned.
Yeah, and that would be a definitive collusion. But
yeah.
Maybe it's just something that's understood. Maybe it's understood that threat is looming for Antonio Brown, and maybe owners are not willing to take a chance. And there's all sorts of issues. But you're right, Dale. When you think about it, there are a few owners in the league that would have a little more clout with Goodell.
Yeah, if Kraft were to call, he'd probably get his answer. If Jones would call, you know, if the owner of the Bengals called, does Roger even take the call?
But I also wonder if the Trent Brown situation has any impact on this. Because, again, somewhat similar, right? It's a civil case. Trent Brown, he had a tweet yesterday that said, I'm aware of what's going on. I deny the claims, and that's all I'm going to say on it, you know, until obviously his lawyers will take it from there. But if he doesn't go on the exempt list, if he can still play, and Drew Rosenhaus represents both of them, don't you think all of a sudden Antonio Brown has a little bit more of a case?
Have the Raiders stepped up and commented?
I
thought they did. But
what'd they say?
But that, you're right. I mean, now you're talking about civil cases. You're not talking about criminal complaints. You're talking about something that could drag on in the courts for a considerable amount of time. And, you know, when you're talking about a six-month season, that makes it very difficult to hold a guy out on a civil case that might not even go to court, probably won't even go to court before the season's over.
Does Jerry Jones say to Roger Goodell, look, you screwed me on the Ezekiel Elliott thing, so tell me the truth now?
Ah, that's true.
Yeah, well, but is he going to believe him, you know?
Yeah.
Well, if Goodell said, listen, you sign him, I'm putting him on the exempt list, he'd probably believe that.
Okay, but if he
says, no, I'm not, I have no plans to do anything.
And then the follow-up calls are from 31 other owners saying, well, what's going on? What do you, is this special treatment to Jerry Jones?
So that's why if I was like a team like the Cowboys, I would force their hand. And I would, and a lot of it would have to come down to what kind of contract you can get ironed out. And if that contract is something along the lines of almost all of your money is tied into game day, bonuses or whatever else, right? You're going to make the exact your bare bones minimum because we don't know. We're giving you a chance, but the league might take that chance away from it, and we don't want to pay you $8 million pro rate or whatever to be on the exempt list.
But you're right in thinking that Jerry Jones has always had a bit of a renegade sort of.
Brought in Greg Hardy, gave Greg Hardy a chance.
Absolutely, you know? Right. Absolutely. So yeah, I mean, you're looking at a possibility, but that would seem a little, I don't want to say desperate, but a little, you three losses in a row, that might make you desperate.
But do you think
the
Cowboys overall, not just the 2019 Cowboys, but just Jerry Jones' ownership run here, don't you think now is the time to be kind of desperate?
Yes, yeah. Absolutely agreed, because when you do look at their championships.
It's either get Antonio Brown or fire Jason Garrett.
Right. And their championships, when a lot of, and Cowboy fans too, when they think of those championships, they think more of Jimmy Johnson than they do Jerry Jones. He wouldn't mind having a better piece of the Cowboys' legacy for the tenure of his ownership.
I mean, they haven't even made it to the conference championship game since they last won the Super Bowl in '95.
Right.
It's been a lot of either missing the playoffs, losing in the divisional round, or losing in the wild card round. So if any
and
team,
yet they never seem to suffer from a business perspective, do they?
No, they're still like the most. I think they're the highest valued team. I mean, the stadium's a big part of that, right?
Yes.
But still,
huge
they're
advertising money. I mean,
it's America's team, right?
They never play to an empty seat.
No.
I mean, they really have not suffered a bit.
No, and because you're first off, it's Texas. Football is a lifestyle out there, and there's no college football on Sundays, so where else are you going to be? The Cowboys, the 5 years there, we were terrible. We made the playoffs once, and I don't know if there's
it wasn't
any,
your fault, Steve.
I don't know if there's any, but before I got there, they made it for like 24 out of 25 years.
Okay, maybe it was your fault.
Then I got there and we made it 1 out of 5 years to get drummed out in the first round. But
all right, yeah,
no direct correlation.
No, there was nothing there.
Absolutely not. But you're right. There was no backlash from the fans. The fans still showed up in droves, and it was they were the lead story in the news all the time, and it wasn't an issue there. And you know, I don't know. It's one of those things where they look more optimistically at their team than probably any other franchise.
And assume it must drive Jerry Jones nuts.
Has to.
But I would have thought he'd gotten rid of Jason Garrett before now too.
Yeah, I don't know what the deal is with there. Why he likes Jason Garrett so much? I mean, Jason Garrett took over for Wade Phillips back in 2010. So throw that one out there because that was like half a season for him. So 2011, he's made the playoffs three times. for the Dallas Cowboys to make the playoffs three times and for him to stay there this whole time. So this is year nine, like his full year nine. And he's got a lot of talent there.
He was the young coach that's in vogue now, but early, 9 years ago.
Right, he was like ahead of the curve.
Yes, and they thought they were getting an innovative play caller, and he was, from all reports, when he was a player, he was very active in everything from going over the game plans with the coaches and working with the other quarterbacks. I think they thought he was the guy to innovate and give the Cowboys an edge on other teams. It didn't happen.
We will talk to Peter King in just a few minutes, kind of get a national perspective on what's going on around the NFL. We played a cut during the Open of Roger basically saying, yeah, the replay system's working great. It's exactly what we were looking for.
Yeah.
Really?
He also had a good line about the refs being like, well, you know, every year it's like 2 to 3 weeks where they're a topic and, you know, they'll be fine.
And then everything's good after that.
Like, oh, okay.
Yeah, but
nothing to see here.
I'm curious, does the 2 to 3 weeks go back to the NFC Championship game?
Yes.
Pretty much.
Does it start there and then you pick and choose? I feel like
we're about six weeks into this season.
Oh, right.
So,
and it's not getting better.
To this day, that's only halfway through the season, but you can't go to New Orleans home game and not see an anti-Goodell or anti-referee sign or you know.
And I don't blame them.
Can you imagine if that happened to the Patriots?
Oh, we'd go nuts.
Oh
my God. We already think, and I think rightfully so, that the league is out against the Patriots and Goodell is out against the Patriots. And if that stood, holy smokes.
The league, when you're talking about the league, you're talking about ownership. You're not talking about maybe GMs or whatever, and probably some players a little bit.
Yeah,
but
owners.
But owners in particular, because if you think about it, the rule changes that they made there were two prongs to the rule changes.
Right.
More points and make it tougher for Bill Belichick to be the defensive genius that wins championships.
Right.
And they didn't understand that Bill Belichick could flip the script without even thinking. Show up in 2007 and say, okay, you want to do this? I'm going to run up the score on you.
A lot of people who cover the Patriots have been attempting over the last 24 to 48 hours to figure out the Michael Bennett situation and what exactly happened. We'll get Steve's take on it, having been in those locker rooms as well, after we talk to Peter King. Michael Irvin will join us at 12:20 today, travel schedules being what they are. But Peter King is coming up in just a couple of minutes after.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We trend. It is time for our regular weekly visit with Peter King, Football Morning in America. Peter brought to you by Needham Bank. Can we be your bank? Good morning, Peter.
Good morning, Dale. You're having some power issues,
We got some power issues. And by the way, Steve DiAssi is in the studio with us today as well.
Steve!
Hey, Peter, how are you?
How you doing?
Doing
hey,
great,
I'm doing okay. Thanks. Good talking to you.
You too.
So Roger Goodell yesterday told us there is no officiating problem in the National Football League. Does he watch the game?
I mean, you know, that's the silliest thing I ever heard. It's just, you know, of course, you know, he's going to stick up for his guys. But everybody out here understands there's a huge problem, and everybody understands that somehow, some way, they passed a rule in March at the NFL meetings that pass interference be challenge flagged. But no matter what happens on those pass interference calls, 24 of the last 25, many of which are obviously egregious calls, Al Riveron simply refuses to change. So, if they had passed a rule that said during the playoffs, we are going to allow challenge flags on pass interference, that would have been fine. It would have been weird because it would have been one set of rules for the playoffs and for the regular season. But either that's what's happening or they have just decided that unless it's catastrophic, they're not going to call it. Now, having said that, I challenge anybody to watch the Tommy Lee Lewis play in the AFC Championship game. And then not only watch a Tommy Lee Lewis play, but then imagine if that play happened this week. Like, let's say in the Giants-Patriots game, I think there were about 4 or 5 minutes to go, and Jonathan Jones interfered with Golden Tate. It was a clear pass interference. It was missed on the field, and then Riveron chose not to overturn it. What happens if in a 21-point game with 3 or 4 minutes left to go, that Tommy Lee Lewis play happened again? The question is, in my opinion, I don't think Riveron would overturn it. So somehow either Al Riveron has chosen to play God or the NFL has told him, don't call it unless it's beyond egregious.
Topic of conversation that came up yesterday on the show was right now in the NFL, who are the top five quarterbacks? And again, there's a lot of different ways you can view that question. You know, you can take some of the past into account, I suppose, but it's how they're playing now and, you know, guys you would want for this season. And Russell Wilson and Patrick Mahomes, I would say, are at the top of everybody's list. Is Tom Brady still in your top five for the 2019 season?
Absolutely. I'd like to see Patrick Mahomes, and look, Russell Wilson has done fantastic adjusting to new receivers and playing without Doug Baldwin. He's my MVP right now. But I'd like to see any of these quarterbacks with Gunnar Olszewski, or however you pronounce his name, Jacoby Myers, and who's the tight end who I can't think of now?
Ryan Izzo.
All of whom played over 50 snaps in a game that they won by 21 points. And so, look, I just say this. It was interesting. I was just working on the letters to my column, and somebody wrote me a letter and said, how in the world can you have Tom Brady in your top five for MVP? I think I had him fourth on my list. How in the world can you do that? And I just wrote him back, and I said, the New England Patriots right now, even with Julian Edelman, have the worst of all 32 teams, have the worst skill position group playing today. Now, if Josh Gordon is healthy and lasts 16 weeks and they make a trade at the trading deadline, which I don't say I'm positive, but it's highly likely they'll make at least one to improve that. But as of today, right now, New England is 10th in the league in offensive points, and they're doing it without a lot of talent on the offensive side of the ball. And, by the way, scotch taping left tackle together every week.
Knowing all that, Peter, do you foresee a trade for a skill position player or a signing of a skill position player? And if so, what's the market like?
I was just figuring this out this morning, Steve, and figuring that teams are so much more aggressive than they used to be. So I took the calendar year 2009, and I figured out how many trades involving players happened in 2009. And there were 50. And 10 years later, in 2019, there have been 69 so far, and we still have significant time to go before the trading deadline in a week or so. So I think there's going to be a few more trades, and I think it makes too much sense right now for New England basically to to not make a trade. They've got to do something, and I will be very surprised if I'm not mistaken, I will be very surprised if something comes and goes without New England making one and maybe two. And you ask what the market is. Look, I think we're going to see the Atlanta Falcons want to get some draft choices. I would not be surprised if Mohamed Sanu of Bill Belichick University and at Rutgers becomes available. The Buccaneers are going to have a decision to make on O.J. Howard here in the next week or so. Austin Hooper, the Falcons, is a good NFL tight end. I think they need somewhere between serviceable and good at one or both of those positions before October 30th.
We're talking to Peter King, Football Morning in America. You and all of us have seen players and coaches have disagreements, sometimes very vocal and loud disagreements. We've seen Brady on the sidelines with Bill O'Brien and Josh McDaniels. So it's a little hard for us to believe that Michael Bennett had simply a philosophical disagreement with Brett Bielema, and it ended up costing him a game check and a week suspension. Sorry, not buying that.
Yeah, I mean, obviously something happened between them, whether it be some sort of argument, whether it be they had to be separated. I don't know what happened. The Patriots are pretty good at keeping things like that in-house, but I would anticipate that there was something that went beyond, hey, I don't like the way I'm being used.
Do you think Michael Bennett makes it through the season with the Patriots?
Probably, because I think Bill Belichick realizes that he's going to need him. He's obviously, I mean, as of last year, the last 2 years, he still was, in limited snaps, an impact pass. And again, didn't today, would they still be a very good defense? Of course they would be.
Sorry, Peter.
Anyway, I would. With the nation became untenable.
Peter, how much do you think activating guys like Isaiah Wynn and possibly N'Keal Harry will help this offense?
I mean, if N'Keal Harry is going to come back here in whenever it is, 2 or 3 weeks, that may change their feeling that they've got to get a wide receiver. So again, we'll see what happens in practice. I guess he's going to be practicing, so we'll see what happens in practice. And obviously, you know, Isaiah Wynn was drafted to be their left tackle here, and basically he's hardly been available. And so, you know, at some point, I'm not trying to jump on the poor guy, but it's all about are you available? And so far he hasn't been available. You would think that he would provide an upgrade if he can play. But, you know, people have been wondering if he can play now for a year and a half, and we'll have to see if he can.
Peter, thanks for your flexibility today. We appreciate the time. We'll talk to you next week.
Sounds good, guys. Thank you.
Thanks Peter.
Peter King joining us, Football Morning in America. I'm going to ask you, having been in those locker rooms, a variation of what I just asked Peter King. And you and I had this discussion off the air earlier today. It's very hard for me to picture that a simple verbal altercation between a player and a coach gets you suspended for a week in the loss of a game check, because doesn't that happen all the time?
It's in this situation, it's never been an issue with Bill Belichick or Bill Parcells' teams. When I came from the Cowboys, where Tom Landry and his coaching staff, where their word was gospel and there was no argument whatsoever, I come to the Giants, and within a week, I saw players having heated arguments with coaches. And I'm looking, I said, this is strange. But there was some guidelines or some rules to those arguments. You weren't arguing about more playing time. You weren't arguing about defensive philosophy or whatever. You were arguing about the best way to get something done. It was, if your argument was, was, this will work better if we do something this way, or I feel better doing something like this. You could go at it back and forth, and usually it ended with, you know, some good yelling going on, you know, screaming at each other, and then within 3 to 4 minutes, you'd be on the sideline talking to the coach, and both guys would be trying to figure out exactly what the other one's saying and how it relates, and they'd come to logical conclusions. It wasn't yelling at a coach, as far as Bill Belichick's concerned. I don't know if it was Parcells' attitude towards it, too. I think it was. If you've got a point and you feel strongly about it and you're capable of expressing why that would help this team, that's what everybody's about. That's not even a question. If you're nobody in those championship organizations, both the Patriots or the Giants that I was on, they want the championships, and they encourage input. They seek it. I never saw coaches actually ask opinions of players, not just their thoughts, their opinions on actual plays, scenarios, and situations, because you're using an asset. So to have a philosophical difference. And we're only hearing Bennett's version of the thing. I don't think.
And
we've
why
heard,
should we believe him?
Well, I don't know. Did the Las Vegas police believe him when he was?
Did people believe his version of what happened with the Las Vegas police? Because many people did.
Sure, of course
they
did.
Immediately
yeah,
they bought
took
it.
Took his word for
they
it.
Wanted to.
Yeah,
they wanted to, and that was an atmosphere that he was telling a story that in the current or in that time frame was plausible to a lot of people. In this situation, there's not a history of Bill Belichick really. I mean, how many guys can you recall that guys get suspended for a game?
Right.
He sat guys out.
Now, the reason I believe Bennett, well, you're right, maybe we shouldn't, but we haven't. We know that he wasn't at practice, and then if you're looking for a reason why he wasn't at practice, he, through a reporter, is saying that he has been suspended for a week. So, and then they haven't come out and said anything different. It's not like he popped up at practice yesterday or anything like that. So that appears to be the case. Now, when you say philosophical difference, that can mean all kinds of different things, right? That could mean
him putting a better spin on it.
100%. But it could be a heated argument. It could be I punched the guy in the face, and that's still a philosophical difference, mm-hmm. right? Like, there's such a wide net that you throw when you use that phrase.
Yeah, but philosophical differences that infers a conversation. It doesn't yeah. infer punching a guy.
Although
in the face.
I would imagine a very heated conversation.
Well, I'm sure.
And
I'm
I bet
sure.
it, but I bet it also crossed the line yep. into personal insults and attacks.
If I had to bet the house, I would bet the fact that the philosophical difference that Bennett had was his playing time, and
yeah,
the philosophical difference that the coaching staff had is that you have to earn your playing time, and he hasn't earned it.
And you could say that Antonio Brown and Mike Mayock had a philosophical difference. You could say it that way. And if that was something that happened with the Patriots, he would have been suspended for a game at the very least, I'm sure. So
right.
we'll see if they even comment on it going forward. But I do disagree with Peter on this. I don't think he lasts the season. And whether they
Agreed.
Find a
now,
trade
I'm
partner.
With you, I'm with you now.
Right? I mean, he was barely Agreed. Playing anyway, and now he's arguing with position coaches?
But
week
think,
six?
But think about this. If you have, we've seen his playing time decrease over the last four or five games.
Every game.
Every game, okay,
all six.
Good.
It's gone down all six.
So if you want to trade him, doesn't this, by the fact that you're suspending him for a game, doesn't that lessen the trade value even more?
It does. Although I would say the trade value is really just, will somebody take him for a 7th-round pick?
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
what the trade is.
And does he have a history of issues in the league? How many teams has he been with? Four?
Four.
Four teams? Does he have a history in the league of being that guy?
I mean, I know he hated Greg Schiano sort of after the fact, but guess what? Greg Schiano.
No, he advocated. He advocated for Schiano being fired.
He did.
Yeah. But also, who's had the better NFL career out of those two, right? It's kind of one-sided. I think in Seattle, I mean, just on-field stuff and with the team, I mean, that was a pretty talkative group there in Seattle,
True.
And it worked for him. And so, and then what was he only in Philly, I think, for the year, right?
Yep.
Last year, that was it. And so, yeah, I don't know. I mean, his brother Martellus ended every team he was on, with the exception of the Patriots, pretty poorly.
Shot his way out of Green Bay.
Yeah, he had a long career.
Yep.
So I think somebody might take him, but you wouldn't get much in return anyway. So it's just a matter of, do you want to cut him and have him go to a team that you might play, or can you trade him to a team that you think you won't even see him again?
I'm sorry, you cut him, aren't you responsible? Isn't that dead money on the cap?
Yeah, but you save some. There's still some. Yeah, you're going to have to pay the guy.
Right.
You know, there are certain guarantees tied up in it, you would save more money in a trade than you would in a straight release.
Trade them for a conditional seventh-round pick.
Correct.
Which is probably what it's going to be.
That's right.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. I mean, Peter's point here is that he'll keep him around simply because they may need him before the season is over. My point would be he's going to be a pain in the ass every minute that he's here. I mean, this isn't all of a sudden going to get, oh, you know what? I'm sorry, guys. My bad. We're all good. You won't hear another word out of me the rest of the year.
And I think the defense would have to completely change how they're playing right now for him to be needed. They're playing so many linebackers, and then the defensive linemen that they are playing are guys that are kind of taking on double teams and swallowing up the blockers. And so Michael Bennett's like, I just want to rush the passer. And they're like, well, we don't really need you to do that.
Yeah, it's not the case. And I only saw Kyle Van Noy was the only one that seemed to respond to questions about Bennett. And he was basically towing the company line, which is probably the correct thing to do because you've got the best company in the business.
Right.
617-779-7937. We'll get to your calls coming up next. We'll talk to the playmaker, Michael Irvin, at 1220 today. It's Dale and Keefe. Steve DeAssi's in the house. Sports Radio WEEI.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Demaryius Thomas plays the way he did last night and catches 2 touchdowns, 7 passes for 87 yards. It's hard to get rid of a guy like that when he shows he can produce. But again, every team's going to be making those decisions. I would think he might have locked up a roster spot last night.
Ironically, Demaryius Thomas thought he had locked up a roster spot as well. Patriots play the Jets on Monday night, so you're getting a lot of Patriots-Jets stuff. And Manish Mehta, who just hates the Patriots, has got a piece in which he talked to Demaryius Thomas, who said basically that Bill Belichick lied to him. He says basically when he signed with the Patriots... basically, when he signed with the Patriots, he was guaranteed a roster spot, and then they signed Antonio Brown and traded him to the Jets.
I feel like there's not a lot of – they give guarantees over there?
No.
I feel like Tom Brady would even tell you his job's not guaranteed, even though, again, we all know that it is. I feel like that's probably not true, Demaryius. He also said, Dale, that it was a waste of his time, and it was insulting. Like, well, you are not that good. Like, that's the bottom line. You're not that good. You came in here, you were competing for a spot. I can't believe Adam Schefter thought after beating the fourth stringers for the Giants that was going to lock him up a roster spot. And I know they didn't have Antonio Brown yet, but the reality is Jacoby Myers was going to make the team over Demaryius Thomas. We debated that all preseason. Would you rather have the upshot in the rookies like N'Keal Harry, who was going to make the team because he's a first-round pick, and Jacoby Myers, who looked good in camp, or Demaryius Thomas, who's coming off of an Achilles injury and is in his 30s?
Like, and Gunnar Olszewski had to make it because he's a returner.
And, you wanted him to return punts. I mean, Demaryius Thomas just had the feel of an Eric Decker, Reggie Wayne, Torrey Holt type of guy when he got here. And maybe he has a little bit more in the tank than those guys because he is with the Jets. He's played in a couple of games with the Jets. But he was also hurt during most of camp here.
I mean,
he was far from a guarantee.
Hindsight's always 20/20. I understand that. In the aftermath of cutting Antonio Brown, I kind of wish Demaryius Thomas was still here.
True.
Because he'd be better than what you got, which ain't much right now.
But then I guess the argument could be, you know, would you have kept Demaryius Thomas? You know, like when they brought in Antonio Brown, could they have felt like, oh, 100% he'll be fine all season? Right? Like if you really wanted to have some sort of insurance policy, maybe you would have found a way to keep Demaryius Thomas on the roster.
They're comfortable with bringing in guys that may or may not be there. They did it with Josh Gordon last year. And they brought him back again this year. So they're comfortable with not being sure, not that they're comfortable, but they're willing to take the chance with guys they're not sure of. The question I have here is that did Demaryius Thomas actually think that he was guaranteed a roster spot when he signed here?
So it sounds like.
I don't, first off, that doesn't make any sense.
Because then you
remember
he got cut and then he re-signed, so it was like sort of like the roster manipulation, and there's like the IR guys or whatever else, whatever the reason was they did it.
And then Brown became available.
But once you got cut the first time, did you kind of realize maybe you're sort of at the bottom of the roster? Like, I don't know. I mean, I just And listen, they brought Ben Watson back. They cut him, then they brought him back. So things can happen in the NFL, but that's where Demaryius Thomas is at. Like, he's not the guy that's catching 12, 13, 1,400 yards and in that Denver Broncos offense. That's not the player anymore. And by the way, even when he was doing that, he had a lot of bad drops. And even when he was doing that, Logan Ryan shut him down every time they played the Patriots. I never thought he was a great player.
No, I understand that. But haven't we also kind of overstated the skills and abilities of Jakobi Meyers? He hasn't impressed me much.
Really?
No.
Oh, I thought he's been fantastic.
What did you not like about him? I've seen him cut off roots. I've seen him.
Really?
I've seen, it appears to my naked eye, that Tom Brady gets frustrated with him at times.
Oh, I haven't seen that at all. I mean, he was really good last game. In fact, I'd like to see them throw to him more.
Four targets, four catches.
It's hard to do better than that.
Yeah, maybe it's something where Brady feels he has to force the issue, and the kid came up well and did and caught
that
the ball.
That great diving catch that he had off the turf.
Agreed, which will earn you more targets.
He's actually looked better in the offense than Josh Gordon has.
He looked better, and the last game was the first time I thought, okay, he finally did something.
Right. Well, they haven't really played him.
And I thought that was for a reason. I don't think Tom Brady had any confidence in him. Didn't want to throw to him.
Is that more on Brady?
When you look at that interception, I think it was against Buffalo in the end zone, on the right corner of the end zone. That was Buffalo, correct? If you look at the underneath pattern in the deep in the end zone, you got, I think it was Edelman going to the corner. Doing a down and out to the corner, and then you had Meyers coming off and doing a short out almost almost to the corner of the goal line. He got jammed and didn't fight through the jam, and that allowed his remember, it was his defender that intercepted the ball. It allowed him to be in that line. If Jakobi Meyers had made it where he was supposed to go, that defender would not have been in line to make that interception. I don't think that doesn't because it really just looked like he accepted the fact that he was stuffed instead of fighting through it and getting there. Don't think that doesn't show up in films, because if I saw it, I guarantee you the Patriots saw five angles of it.
Right.
So.
I do think, though, that Demaryius Thomas wouldn't bring much to the table on this team.
I think you're right. It wouldn't be a bad thing to have him here now that Antonio Brown's gone, but I don't think he was a make or break for this team. And I seriously doubt that he was given any type of assurances that he had a roster spot. Makes no sense whatsoever.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Right to your calls coming up next. The playmaker, Michael Irvin, joins us at 1220. It's Dale and Keefe with Diassi Sports Radio, WEEI.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.